If you turn in your Bible tonight, please, Word of God. I won't have you stand tonight. We'll be going through several different scripture passages as we look at the life of David and the beginning of his ministry. It's all about preparing for ministry. If you're breathing, could you raise your hand? Well, then God has been preparing you for ministry. Regardless of your age or your status of life, whether you're in school or if you're in college or in the workforce or retired, I think that would cover everybody here, then you're preparing for ministry and to serve God more each and every day. 1 Samuel chapter 16 is where we'll be this evening. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we're going to be going all the way to 1749, so you can see why I didn't ask you to stand. We're going to hop, skip, and jump through it and pick out some different moments of David's life. And it starts from first being a chosen king, and we'll find him in the field. And then we'll go up and see him right as he is killing Goliath. You know, the story of David and Goliath is even in the secular world. Sometimes you'll have court cases, and they'll say that's a Goliath you're going up against. And what they mean is it's something that you're not able to defeat because it's so big, even though David did defeat Goliath. And I trust everyone has a handout and we're ready to go. You see there are 10 things. If you look at the back of the sheet, I actually should have brought one with me. If you look at the back of the sheet, here's an outline of the country, and the different shades are the different counties, as we would call them. And the top yellow one up here in the corner, on the right-hand side, this is a list of the northern Great Plains. And that's the area that God has asked me to focus on in the beginning, is that area. And obviously I can't cover that whole territory by myself, but we're going to start there. And there's 264,000 souls just in that one area there. And here's the name of the towns. If you can say them all, that would be amazing. And one day we'll be able to say them ourselves. So this also serves as a prayer sheet, if you want to look at it and pray for those towns. There's not a town on here. Let me look. There is, let's see, out of all of here, there is one town. It's on the left. It's the Behi Keretz. It has 4,273 people. That is the only town on this list that has an independent Baptist church. And that church is the Church of the Gypsies. And they will reach everybody that will come, but only gypsies come because of the cultural differences. And it is growing like crazy. In fact, they're trying to get a new building, but there's some financial things in the way of that. And then on the inside, you'll see that there are 10 things that we'll be looking at tonight. All right. Chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, verse number 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for tonight. I'm excited to be here and to share your word, Lord. I ask that I'm a blessing to the people here, but more importantly, that you are lifted up and you are made known. Lord, I pray that my thoughts are clear and concise, and the heart of the message will get across, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. The first thing we find about David is that he is tending the sheep. He keepeth the sheep. That's the first thing we find out about him in the Word of God. And if you know anything about David, he's one of the top 10, you know? You start naming off Bible characters, he's in that list. Would you agree? But the first thing we find out about him, and the first thing that we should glean from the life of David, is that he was a busy guy. He was a busy God doing his Father's work. Now, can you put the spiritual application there? That we need to be busy about our Father's work. Number one, preparation by being busy. Preparation by being busy. When Samuel came to Jesse's house, David was working. We ought to be busy about serving Jesus so that when he comes, he finds us busy. I believe that would bring honor to him. Verse 17 of chapter 16, the Word of God records, "And Saul said unto his servant, Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite. Now watch this. That is cunning and playing, a mighty, valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Number two, preparation by faithfulness. Preparation by faithfulness. I had the privilege of teaching this into a Bible college atmosphere with some Bible college students, and I came to the point here in verse 18. He says that he was prudent in matters. I looked at the congregation of about 20 Bible college students. I said, that means he studied for his test. And all the professors said, Amen! It was wonderful. What we learn about David here, again, is he's busy with the sheep. Every time we find David in his early life, he's busy with the sheep, doing what his father asks him to do. This shows us the faithfulness of the lad, the faithfulness of David, and that we ought to be faithful in the service to the king. David was used to comfort the king. We didn't read there where Saul needed comfort, but he was looking for somebody to comfort him. And King Saul's men, his servants, said, we know the right guy. We know who to come and comfort you. David was there and he was ready to encourage the king. I want to look at this and use it as an example that we are to lift up and encourage the pastor. Encourage the pastor. Come in and be on time in services and be there when the doors are open and fill in the blanks as you continue on. And just think, if you were the pastor, what would encourage you? I'd probably encourage the pastor as well. I was teaching this at one church and I said, give him a call and say hello. And everybody started giggling, and I'm like, I don't understand. And I said, send them a text. And they started giggling, and I'm thinking, I don't understand. I'm like, well, maybe you could just send them an email. And everybody started giggling, and one person finally said, he doesn't have a cell phone. He's never sent a text. Okay, I didn't know they still existed. It was great. Number three, preparation by reputation. By reputation. We see the reputation of the little lad. Of the lad here, David. Look what David was known for. Being cunning, verse 18. Being cunning and playing. He was skilled at the harp. He was strong, a mighty, valiant man. He was experienced. It says he was a man of war. We'll look at some of that. Of his experience. He was smart, prudent in matters. He was good looking. And most importantly, the Lord is with him. The servants of the king were looking for somebody in all of Israel to comfort the king, and they looked at David and they said, the Lord is with him. Can that be said about us? I pray that it's true that the Lord is with us, and that those around us at our jobs, in our workplaces, in our school, that they will say that the Lord is with us. Preparation of being busy, preparation of faithfulness, a preparation of reputation. Dr. Wisby says in the commentary, referring to David already, we see David's abilities being recognized, yet David was not promoting himself, that God was doing it. And too many young people today try to push themselves into potential places without first proving themselves at home in the small matters. It starts by obeying your parents, and that's how God uses you, is the small things that add up over time. And number four, preparation by comforting leadership. In verse 19, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And yet again, we find him working with the sheep. And he was sent unto the king to comfort him. You know what happened at this moment, right? He had a relationship with the king. A relationship with the king. It wasn't there before. And the king asked for someone to comfort him. And the Lord, because the Lord saw him faithful, it gave him a relationship with the king. And that, we'll see later on, came into practice, into use. Do we have a relationship with our King of Kings? Do we have a reputation with our peers of having a relationship with the King of Kings, with God Himself? It's a challenge there. Number five, this is a good one. Preparation through back to work attitude. Back to work attitude. Chapter 17, verse 15. It says, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem." Now think about this. If you're David, you're a teenager, we don't know his age, but you're a young teenager and you got to play the instrument, your harp, let's say, for the king. Wouldn't you have pride? I ain't going back to those dirty sheep. Man, I'm the king's harp player. I think that's okay to say that I would have that attitude. Well, my brothers will take care of those dirty sheep. I play the harp for the king. It's not what David had, though. And I think the attitude that David had of going back to work is why God was able to use him throughout his life. Because he didn't have that proud heart. And he went right back to work. Right back to work. Preparations for back to work. After leaving Saul, he went back to work. He didn't have the "I did and I'm done" attitude. He went back to work. Also, at the same time going on in scriptures, if you would read the entire context of the passage, you would see going on all at the same time here how Goliath has been taunting Israel. So David's playing the harp for King Saul, and he's going back to work, and he's doing as his father has commanded him to do and taking care of the sheep, and his brothers are off taking care of war business. And Goliath is standing up against Israel. 40 days are gone by, and we come to point number six. Aren't you glad I didn't preach for 40 days to get to point six? Verse 20 through 22. Preparation through replacement. Preparation through replacement. I saw this when I was reading the scripture, and I thought of a lot of things, and it really encouraged me and really taught me some lessons. Let's look at them. Verse number 20. "And David rose up early in the morning." When I was teaching those college kids, I read that about 10 times, and every time the professor said, "Amen, amen." "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went. And Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trenches of the host to go forth and to fight, and he shouted on the battle. So here we see that he left the responsibilities with a keeper. Even though his dad asked him to go do something else, he still took the responsibility of the sheep on his own shoulders. Even though dad said move somewhere other direction, he said, "Well, I still have the sheep, so I'm going to do what you asked, dad, but I still have this responsibility." I think if we apply that into the church matters, we can have a lot of application. Or maybe you teach a Sunday school and you're going on vacation. Do you find somebody to replace you? And I ask that the Holy Spirit fill in the blanks as you go. Whatever your responsibilities are, do we have somebody come behind us when we're unavailable to take care of them ourselves? I remember many times I would be a bus driver at the church, and I would be responsible for this activity as well, and sometimes they would intertwine with each other, and I would have to find somebody to replace me. I think that's a character that God likes, that we take responsibility even if we're juggling several different things. We see that here in the life of David. He rose up early in the morning. He left the sheep with the keeper. Verse 21, "For Israel and the Philistine had put the battle in array, army against army." In verse number 2, we see it once again, the same character of David. He left his carriage in the hand of the keeper. Makes you wonder how many keepers David had, huh? They had keepers everywhere. But again, we see the same preparation through replacement. When we left one of our churches that we were members of and went to another church for different reasons, it took several women to replace the responsibilities that my wife had. And that's a tribute to my wife, and I want to lift her up. And she would find replacements for nursery and replacements for this Sunday school class that she had. And it was things that she had to do. Number seven, preparation through knowledge. Preparation through knowledge. You know, here's an example of a negative, not finding somebody to replace you. And I don't want to be negative. It's just, it left a hole. And it left a bad taste in the pastor's mouth in this example. There was somebody in a church that they led the choir. And they decided to go and move across town and change churches. And they left a hole in the church. You know, Paul talks about us being a whole body. Well, there's now a hindrance in that church because that position was left vacant without this person replacing themselves in the choir at that church. I just thought of that. I want to share that. Number seven, preparation through knowledge. Verse number 23. And he talked with them. Behold, it was David talking with his brothers. Behold, there came up the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same works. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the men, they fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, and the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and will make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered after him this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And here's the introduction of Goliath. We can do some research and learn quickly that he was a terrible man. He was a man of great strength and great height. And we can see how the entire army of Israel feared him. And it was a problem. And we can read how, remember the 40 days, how it was a long time that he was taunting the armies of Israel. We have things like that in our life, don't we? Nuisances that just won't go away. But look at David's reaction. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that reproaches my Lord, the God of Israel? What an attitude of a young lad to have, a character trait that we need to have. Think about all, just look at the newspaper. Is there anything good in it? But in your own hearts, in your own minds, think about the headlines of today's culture that we live in. Is there not a cause today? From the uncircumcised Philistines of, or the problems of the world? And we could spend time and go through and list them all, but we know what they are. We talk about them to each other. We need to be like David and stand up and make a difference. Number six was preparation through replacement. And number seven was knowledge. David, for the first time, hears of the uncircumcised Philistine. He was no longer ignorant of the situation. He refused to stand by and allow his God to be cursed. You know, in around the year 400, if you can go back that far, the land of Hungary, which actually includes all of the surrounding countries, was given to Attila the Hun. You ever heard of him? He was also a great warrior, and not great by quality of life, but great by how many people he killed. And as a reward for winning a war for Rome, he was given the land of Hungary. And here the land is now, so what I'm trying to say is the land has been there a long, long time, all the way back to the year 400. Well, along comes Jason here in the year 2012 at the time, and I knew of the country, but I didn't know the need. And when I was in the sixth grade, the Lord asked me to be a church planner, and he gave me that desire, and he, throughout my life, the desire to be a church planner has been there. And when I got through Bible school and I was getting to the point of seeking God's will to where to start churches, I knew I wanted to start churches where there was an absolute need. and not one, you know, across the street from McDonald's, you know, and have competition with the pastor. That wasn't a desire of mine. In fact, I was filling the pulpit for a church in West Alexander, Ohio, if you're familiar with that is. And there was a church with just four or five people and no pastor. And I'm filling the pulpit, and in the same town of West Alexander are two or three other independent Baptist churches. And the town itself is one red light. I mean, it's very small. And they would ask me to be their pastor, and I would tell them a faithful Baptist answer of I'll pray for it. And in my heart, I knew it was a no. But nonetheless, I would fill in the pulpit for them and got some experience there. And we praise the Lord that they partnered with us to reach hungry. But one day I told them, I can't do that, knowing the need and hungry is so great. And it wasn't because I didn't have a desire to be the pastor in America. It was because of the need and hungry. And that's how God worked in my heart and in my life to get us to the field of hungry. But in 2012, I went there with my pastor and I saw the need. And here David has gone before the Philistine and he sees the need. You see, before this, he didn't care about Goliath because he didn't know who Goliath was. But he was being faithful, serving his father. Preparation of knowledge. He refused to stand by and allow his God to be cursed. And number eight, preparation. Now before I give it to you, I want to read the text. 17 verse 32. David stands up and he's now before King Saul to fight Goliath. And Saul says unto him, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Let thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, so think about the energy that David has. Think about the charisma that David has. We already saw he's a smart guy. We already saw he's a brave guy. We already saw he's a strong guy. And think about all that. Think about the conversation between King Saul and this energetic youth. And King Saul says unto him, in verse number 33, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Right away, the king who knows David and has experienced the comfort that David can provide through the harp, he says to this lad in a foolish way, you can't do it. You can't do it. You know, there was a lot of years that I would tell myself that I can't do it. You know, honestly, I was right. I can't. But God can use me to do it. Amen? And God can use you to do it. Whatever that it is. This morning we talked about what is your now. God can give you the strength for your now, whatever that might be. Preparation through disappointment. You know, disappointment can prepare us for life and for different circumstances if we allow it to be a tool for strength. Preparation through disappointment. Saul attempts to discourage David, and David was too full of zeal to even consider the disappointment. But let's look at number nine, preparation through experience. David's resume. I love this. I think the zeal, the conversation, the energy behind the two, King Saul and the youth of David. Think about the energy back and forth as they were arguing, you can't do it. Oh, yes, I can, type of thing. Think about that as we read his resume. Verse number 34, and David said unto Saul, I mean, he's talking to the king. That takes some gumption, don't you think? David says to Saul, I lost my spot, there he goes, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took the lamb out of my flock. Think about that. You ever fight a bear? You ever fight a lion? No. Think about that. This little lad, this youth here, he did. Verse 36, the servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, he's going to be just like them. He's going to be just like them. Shall be one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. What energy David had. What zeal David had. As I go to Hungary and I learn the fourth hardest language in the world, may I have the same zeal that David had, that I can do it. Preparation through experience. I killed a lion, I killed a bear, and up next, the uncircumcised Philistine. What's on our list? When we go to the leadership of the church, what do we bring to be a benefit and be a blessing to the leadership? You know, we were at the pastor's house today, and anybody experienced the dog? A little bit of energy, huh? When I was younger, at home with my parents, I would walk the neighborhood dogs because they paid me for it. And I'd shovel snow because they paid me for it. I wouldn't do it for free. There was one dog, his name is Jake. He was a German Shepherd. And the neighbors asked me to start walking him when he was just a few weeks old. And you don't run with a few-week-old German Shepherds, do you? They're just everywhere. They're untamed. You spend time with them, and you love on them, and you train them, and you teach them. Well, German Shepherds, they start out small, and they grow big, right? Well, as this German Shepherd, his name is Jake, as he would grow, I taught him to jump. I taught him to jump from the ground to just an inch off the ground. And I would say, jump. And he would jump. Not too spectacular experience to see a dog jump an inch, is it? But you know, about the year two years old, working with him on a daily basis, not even my dog, but working on him on a daily basis, he could jump a 7-foot wall like that on command. Now, that's impressive. And it was fun. I remember the first time he did it, he about choked because the leash was still on him. And it was, you know, that's how ministry is, and that's how God works with our own lives. He just gives us a little task, a piece of paper on the ground, and he says, let me see if that servant of mine truly does love me, and will pick that garbage up. Oh, he did pick that garbage up. Maybe I'll give him two pieces of garbage to pick up next time. The next thing you know, you're the pastor. It's little things over time. How faithful are we at the little things, at the little things? And here David saying to the king, I was faithful to my father. I was faithful in watching his sheep, and danger came, and I took care of that danger. And now I'm going to be faithful to my heavenly father because danger's here, and I'm going to take care of that danger. You know, David never did it for himself. In fact, in the passage, in verse number, let's find it here, 34, thy servant kept his, what's that word there? He never took it as his own. He just took the responsibility as his own. You see, it says his father's sheep. He didn't say, I was watching my sheep. His father's sheep. And that's how we need to live our life in our ministries, in our daily, everything we do. It's our father's life. We are bought with a price. And our life belongs to God. Did I give number 9, preparation of experience? All right. Number 10, preparation of gathering resources. Gathering resources. Verse number 40. And he took the staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip and his sling, and was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He's got his zeal. He's ready to go. Verse number 49. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence the stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead. There's a word here I want to stick out. Look at what the stone did. What did the stone do? It bounced off his helmet and on the ground, and everybody laughed at him. My God's more powerful than that. And the stone sunk. You see it there? The stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon the face of the earth, dead. Now, what does God want you to do with your life? What does he want you to accomplish with your life? Because the same power behind the stone that sunk into the Philistine here, that's the same power that God gives us as He enables us to accomplish His will in His time. But you know, the zeal and the energy that David had to kill Goliath came from the faithful things, from the little things. David prepared with the five smooth stones. It was not his first stone he threw. And the results were this, if you see your little equation there, that it was David's faith, plus David's experiences, plus David's past trials. We don't like trials, do we? But we come out stronger on the other end, don't we? We go through trials all the time. And at the time, they're not fun. I mean, do you think he had fun fighting a bear? I don't think he had fun fighting a bear. I mean, think about it. The lamb was in his mouth and I took it back. I think he went home tired that night. We have trials. But the Lord uses them. Multiplied by God's grace equals a divided Goliath. There's some biblical math for you. David's faith plus David's experiences plus David's past trials multiplied by God's grace equals a divided Goliath. And again, it was the preparation that brought him to this moment. I can tell about the Sunday school classes I've taught. I can tell about the pieces of gum I've scraped off the sidewalk. And I can tell you of the toilets that I've cleaned in the church. And I can tell you of the buses I've driven. I drove a bus once. It was an 18-passenger van filled with about 30 kids. And I'm really not kidding about that. And I had no idea where any of them lived. I was literally doing something else at the church, and the bus captain, his name's Andy, he said, "Hey Andy, can you take some kids home?" I said, "Sure. Where do they live?" "Oh, they know where they live. They'll tell you." Okay. So I climbed into a van, and it was already filled with kids, and well, where am I going? The dark, I didn't know where I was going. I think I got them somewhere. I know eventually the van was empty, so I went back home. It's all the little things, the preparation that builds up to God allowing us to kill Goliath, to God allowing us to pastor, to God allowing us to go to Hungary. What is God allowing you to do? Be a witness, be a light, be a testimony everywhere we go. Being a youth leader. All the preparations that God gives us. Father God, thank you for tonight and for your word. It was so precious, sweeter than honey, Lord. More powerful than a double-edged sword at the same time. And Father God, may we learn how to handle it and apply it to our lives. Father God, keep us all warm and safe as we go home on these icy, slippery roads, Lord. Give them all protection so that you may be glorified. In your name I pray. Amen.